Today we're going to talk about strategies that help make dream interpretation easier. Let's go into a scripture, really understanding what God says about dreams here. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, when he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. So we want to make sure in this scripture it's saying God speaks to us and we don't hear it. So we need to know how to use the dreams, some strategies into making sure we're hearing, because the part of us that's awake and living our lives, we don't tend to hear God very well. This is what the scripture is saying. We don't perceive it, but in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep comes upon us, when we're slumbering in our beds, he opens our ears and seals our instruction. So our ears are opened in the night while we're sleeping, when during our regular life, our ears aren't as open. This is what this is saying. And one of the things that we talked about in the last class is studying the parables of Jesus. That is very, very central to dream interpretation as far as how you approach dreams. So if you really study Jesus' parables and you look at what he says and how he defined it, the kingdom of God, for example, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And just using all these different examples, there's different aspects of the kingdom of God or different ways that he wanted to describe the kingdom of God using different parables. And this is why a certain symbol doesn't necessarily just mean one thing. It's the whole parable that we need to get revelation on. And that's why we need God for revelation of dreams and not books. So it's nice to understand that the reason why God speaks in parables, as we spoke about, is for one thing, he wants us to seek him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to get closer to him. So the Proverbs 25:2 says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to seek out a matter. And this is again why he has us seek and search out the answer. So it's going to make you into a student when you are learning dream interpretation. You're considering the scriptures, you're noting your dreams. And so it's taking work, it's taking time, it's turning you into a student. So you have to realize, yes, you are in school. You're in the school of the kingdom of God. So the gifting of God doesn't just drop on you and you just go active and use it one day when you get born again or you decide that you want to have a certain gift. It's something that you learn and you develop. And this is what Joseph had. He had much time to develop his interpretation, as did Daniel, who went to a formal school. And he'll show you in dreams that you are in school, attending school with other students, those types of things, maybe have a classroom, and again, active in the specific gifts that he has you called to. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be doing exactly what you're doing in the dream. So say, in dreams, you're casting out demons, and you're accusing witches in churches. You're pointing out witches, and you're saying, you're a witch, get out of here in Jesus' name. You're not necessarily literally going to be doing those things, but it's showing you your authority and it's showing you the position you're taking and the discernment that you have and the power of Christ that God wants you to develop. So a lot of times it's showing you that you need to be developing this. You need to be operating in it in some way. So it can be you end up doing intercessory prayer, spiritual warfare prayer, but you're not literally casting out demons of people in, say, a deliverance ministry. So a lot of people get put off by things they assume that they see in their dreams. And this can be a reason, again, why God's trying to get you to seek him, because maybe he's trying to tell you in waking life, and then he can't get to you, so he's telling you in a dream, and then he shows you a dream of something pretty dramatic, maybe. If you are talking yourself out of something you think you see, especially where it comes to gifting and calling, that you can't do something, you're limiting God and you're telling God that you have little faith. And that's going to affect whether he can use you or not. So he can show you what he has called you to in your dreams, and you can refuse it. You can talk yourself out of it. You can minimize it. So say you're speaking to people in many different countries, or you have an audience of all these different faces, or you're working with a sea of children, those things can represent, like, the children can represent people that are young in the faith. They can be adults, but they're new in the faith. They're on the milk. So you're not literally going to be teaching, perhaps, a sea of children. You may be teaching people or helping people convert to the faith. The bigger the thing it is, the more time it takes to develop, the more maturity it takes. Another really good tip to make dream interpretation easier is to say you're interacting with someone whose name means strong or strength, or their name means beautiful. There's something about that interaction that has to do with the meaning of their name, where God is growing you. So whatever it is you're doing in that dream is going to be showing you how you're interacting with that aspect of your personality, of your past, of your developing person, the new man, the one that you're going to be becoming. Another strategy that makes dream interpretation a lot easier is asking the Father before you go to bed, just praying for his warring and his ministering angels that are sent to a camp about the heirs of salvation. Those angels, they're released. We don't pray to angels. We don't ask angels for anything. We do not have the ability to do that. The Father has angels for his purposes for us. And actually, when we pray the scriptures, they hear those prayers and they get sent out based on those prayers. So when you pray before bed, you can be in agreement with them and you can welcome what God is doing, that they would guard your dreams, that they would come into your dreams and guide you into safety, that they would protect you, that they would shelter you, that they would point the way, that they would do something dramatic to keep you out of danger. When you start to ask the Father and agree with the Father, that thank him for what he sent into your dreams, you will notice they'll look like normal people usually, but they'll be acting in a role that is sometimes very subtle, but clearly an advocate for you. So sometimes they will come into a room and yell and shout to distract you from a bad decision you're about to make. Sometimes they'll literally point you to something, or they'll give you a map, or they'll give you directions. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this type of thing. Sometimes they will put you in a car and you'll be driving and you don't know the person who's driving, but they're driving you somewhere and you know this person is of God. Sometimes they'll just be quoting scriptures and they'll just be speaking the gospel directly to you. So you're getting exposed in that way. There's a lot of things that angels can do as God sends them out and as you welcome them. So the more that you're praying the scriptures, the more you're going to see activity of angels in your dreams. And that's going to really help not only with your interpretation, but also any warfare you're in, any bad dreams you're having. You're going to have a lot more protection. You need the advocacy of God. You need the power of God. We are not to be fighting on our own power. So we really have the ability to rest in Christ, and we can welcome that protection that he gives. So our job is submission and obedience. And when we go into that role, our dreams become much more pleasant. We have a lot more victories, and we have a lot that we can learn because we start to get the kingdom information that comes through more and more clearly, more and more often. And also we are remembering our dreams more if we're praying before bed, asking specifically to remember our dreams. We're going to have a better defense against the warfare because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he knows we're interested in our dreams and we're starting to have victories, of course he's going to want to try to steal that away. And so as soon as we wake up, we could have those wiped out and vanish so quickly that we're not able to write them down. You can also ask God before bed for protection of your dreams so that you remember them until you are able to write them down. I've prayed that and that has helped, and then the devil got tricky and he had me write them down in the dream. So I wrote them down in the dream right before I woke up, and then I woke up and forgot them. So he had tricked me to what I prayed for was to write them down, but he had me write it down in the dream. So I had to then pray that I would remember the dream until I was awake and wrote them down. So the devil just continues to get more and more sly and seductive and tricky. So you're absolutely going to have to stay in prayer. You have to make it a lifestyle. If hearing from God is important to you, you will be praying every night before bed. You will be taking that time. Worshiping before bed really absolutely helps with not only, again, dream interpretation, but your state of what's coming into the dream, what open doors there are. So you can pray for the gates of your dreams to be guarded by these angels that God has sent. There are gatekeepers in the heavenlies, and the angels of the living God are responding to our prayers and guarding those areas, those entry points. And you really do see a change in your dream life. And this is specifically, too, these messages are for people that have had quite a bit to overcome, and the enemy is very sincerely dedicated to come after you and to use those tricks and seductions and traps and subtleties, and they never seem to stop. And this is where God is preparing you. When Jesus returns or we die and we go into the kingdom, this is our preparation. So we will be ready to serve him, and we will have that obedience and that righteousness set because we've been practicing it, we've been fighting for it so much. So all of this is preparation for us, not only for here in this life to be blessed with what God wants to give the righteous, but also for the millennial reign that's to come, and then the eternity thereafter, of course. So of course, along with that, we're talking about what you do before bed, prayer, listening to worship music. What if you're not? What if you're watching TV? What if you're thinking about an old fight that you had? Or what if you're thinking about something that you're working on, something, maybe something very stressful with work, or you're doing social media stuff, which is just more of interests of the flesh or the soul, or you're looking up people online and just more of that human stuff. When you're right about to go to bed, you want to put all that stuff away, especially you want to have less of that in your life anyway, but the things, especially those that are more sensitive, more spiritually sensitive, those things are going to really, really affect you the more that you are into the stuff of the world before bed. They will enter your dreams. It'll affect your dreams. And the things that happen in the spirit world are trying to manifest in the physical. So then you have to be praying even harder to nullify what you sort of created by watching certain TV shows before bed and things like that. So that's really going to be helpful too, just watching what you're doing before bed. You watch what you do before bed and pray. You have wonderful godly dreams. Then that's set to manifest in your physical life already. You already did it. And you don't have to be spending all this time in warfare. You just get the blessing. And then you continue on in those things. And that's how life can be. A lot of people think, oh, this Christian life is so hard. There's so much warfare. Yes, that's true. But he does make it where we're blessed when we're living in alignment with him also. There are many good things, many provisions that come with that. And why not take advantage of that when there's so much difficulty that you've been through already without Christ? Now that you have him, isn't it wonderful that you get to take hold of the things that he's promised? And you can't do that without him, but you have him. So how wonderful it is to take advantage of that, and what a sad thing it is to not take advantage of that, because we can just act as if we don't have those blessings and just go on in the flesh just like everybody else does. But we have something extra that other people don't have access to, and so many people aren't taking hold of it. We have to actually obtain it, just like the Israelites had to apply the blood for the Passover when they were in Egypt and they were set to be free. This curse was coming upon Egypt, and they were instructed to have a sacrifice and paint the blood over their doorposts so that the spirit of this evil would pass over them, the spirit of death would pass over them. They had to apply that blood. And this is where we are in this day, is we have to apply, we have to take hold of these blessings. We have to apply the blood and say, yes, I received the blood, and I apply it in my life. And that's how we receive the evil passing over us. We really seem to miss that as Christians. So you can see how dream interpretation just deepens your faith and your understanding. So this class is, yes, it's about dream interpretation, but it just touches on our faith in general and the concepts of living for Christ. It just helps with that, and it should. So this is how we know dream interpretation is from God, because it deepens our understanding of the personality and the soul of God and his love and his promise and his story of humanity from the beginning all the way to the end.